glory of God. Turn to Psalm 37. Before I start, we had our family Bible study this morning, and I asked the question, what is our hope in? And our brother here, visitor, brother shouted out right away, Colossians 1:27. Amen. Colossians 1:27. That ties in so well. So important that we know what we're looking at, what we focus on, what we trust in, what we hope in. To them God willed to make what are known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Christ in you. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Psalm 37, verse 31 today. I'll back up to verse 30 for context. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. So the righteous, we're speaking of the righteous, and of the righteous, the law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. Well, we know God's saving grace redeems sinners and gives them a new desire, a new hope, to obey and trust in God through their union with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it's through that saving work of Jesus Christ that we're born again, that we're made new. Our hearts are regenerated. And as part of being a new man in Christ and our connection and union with Christ by the Holy Spirit, we have a desire to obey God. We want to obey God. We actually yearn for righteousness. We taste and see that the Lord is good. We want his ways and not our own. And by faith, we desire to obey our God. As Christ himself said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so yes, for the righteous man, the law of God is in his heart. And this transforming work that happens is pretty incredible, if you think about it. We go from being rebels against God to those who not only love God, but want more of God, as it were. Listen to Titus 3:3-8. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the union. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. So we see this connection between the truth of God that captivates our hearts, that implants his law into our soul, and it becomes who we are. It becomes our identity. We are Christ's. With that truth in our hearts, we have this irresistible drive or irresistible grace, not just to obey, but to delight in his laws. David said in Psalm 40, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Yes, God's law or precepts are in our hearts. And this, it's not the result of Scripture memorization, although Scripture memorization is very good, but this is a deeper work. This is a work of the Holy Spirit that causes us to obey and delight in our God. Like in Ezekiel 36, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my commandments. God lovingly, graciously brings this conviction to his people and his people alone. You remember that from Jeremiah 33. He says, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the law of God in the heart of the righteous. And what a joy that is. And what else do you want to rule your heart? What is the rule of your heart? Do you want it to be your rule? Do you want it to be the rule of the culture? The rule of your passions and longings? Or do you want it to be that law of God? The truth of eternity. Before you existed, God laid this out. This is the hope of the scripture brought before us today. May his ways be our ways. And in fact, as the children of God, as we walk in the Spirit and look to his way, this is actually how we have peace in him. If you wondered, what does it mean to have rest in God or rest in Christ or peace in God? It's this. We must resist clinging to the pseudo-truth ways of the world and the fleeting passing pleasures of the passion of the flesh that rises up within us. But instead, as the redeemed of God, we must remember we have unhindered access to the truth, rooted and grounded and fashioned in love in our hearts by the Maker of heaven and earth. The righteous has the law of God in his hearts, in his heart. And it also says in our text today, his steps do not slip. His steps do not slip. Now, this isn't a declaration that nothing will ever go wrong in life. In fact, we know in verse 24 that the righteous will fall, but they will not be utterly cast down. But what this means is that God will take care of his children. He will not let them slip away, for they are secure in him. And so we have an assurance of our salvation. Assurance. The call from Scripture is to examine our hearts, ourselves, and make our calling and election sure, knowing that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and that this law is in our hearts. We must resist the flesh and by the conviction of the Spirit press towards the truth. Paul raised the shout of triumph to all Christians, compelling us not to back down, but to engage in the fight in 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. May we be assured of our salvation and lean in to loving and obeying our God. Obeying our God with that law that's been implanted into our hearts. We should do this now in our time of confession. We should examine our hearts, consider the path of our feet. What is ruling my heart every day? Puritan Anthony Burgess exhorts us well. He said this, "Never forget to keep looking to Christ alone as your peace with God and your basis of salvation. Deal honestly with yourself and fight against self-love and self-flattery. Pray to God for his Spirit to enlighten your eyes, submit to him, and glorify him in all you do." Oh, those are comforting and cutting words, aren't they? Deal honestly with yourself. Fight against self-love. Keep looking to Christ. Brothers and sisters, may we rejoice in this. What a good God we have. Let's put the law of God, his law, right in our hearts. It's there. So we can come boldly to that throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we indeed need your grace, we need your mercy, for we do know this thing of self-love. We do know this thing of self-flattery. Oh God, we are cut to the quick with this. Oh Father, remind us that your law is in our heart. May it dwell up and well up within us and breathe life. It may flow out of us, God. May we never let anything else rule our hearts but your truth. Your commandments, your precepts, your love. Oh God, and we confess to you that while we often make excuses and go around it, God, you, by your Holy Spirit, have brought us this truth. So God, bring us this enlightenment to our heart, to our eyes, that we may see by faith and submit to you and glorify you in all we do. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.